Federal Election Forum. That's at Kazali's. And I was just talking just a moment ago about the Pauline Hanson's One Nation candidate, Peter Rogers. And lo and behold, who's in the studio? Pauline Hanson herself. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. Lovely.
How have you been?
Actually, great. Yeah, I'm keeping fantastic health. I don't feel the age that I am. I feel as if, you know, everyone says that, don't they, even though the years may roll on.
You haven't changed a bit. And I'm trying to think how many years it is since you've been at that microphone. It's quite a few years.
Yeah, 20 years, yeah. Actually. 20 years this year. I was first elected to the seat of Oxley in 1996.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting road.
Mm. Tell me about your beliefs from day one, because I remember quite clearly it was almost an explosion in the media because your views were considered extreme, but cast your mind forward 3 or 4 years, and the views that were so controversial largely saw a change in direction of the Howard government policies.
That's right. I stood on the one policy at that time that I was why I was thrown out of the Liberal Party was because I was calling for equality for all Australians. Mm. And it was seen as to be racist. Mm. And then I went on to deliver my maiden speech and I called for, abolish multiculturalism because it will fail and cause social incohesion, and abolish ADSIC, which the Howard government did. Stop the boats, they were all things that actually happened. I'm all for tariff protection, protect our own industries and manufacturing against Agenda 21, which is destroying it's control of water, control of population. Oh, John, there's so many things. I went into politics quite naive. I admit that, I didn't understand it completely. I stood up on principle and what I believed in. And after being in there and the people, I met the people. Mm-hmm. I travelled the country quite extensively. And it was the people that spoke to me and told me of their stories and what was happening. And I thought, this is so wrong. Mm-hmm. This is not what the government should be doing to our country and the people. So I've stuck with it. And because I've learnt so much and I've gained experience and knowledge over the years, mm-hmm. and I think it's so wrong what is happening, that's why I haven't given up. I continue to fight for what is right for our country and future generations. And I'm not against migration, and they've tried to make that out. You've got to have sustainable migration. You've got to bring people in that are going to be compatible with our culture and our way of life, who want to be Australians, who want to assimilate. And that's all any of us ask for.
Interesting, I heard Boris Johnson in London probably a week and a half ago saying what we need in Great Britain is, as you're saying, not an end to immigration, but an application of requirements of those who want to migrate to Great Britain. Basically, the Australian model. He's saying this is open-door policies, potentially catastrophic. What we need is to require of these people wanting to come and live in Great Britain a desire to work, an ability to look after yourself, bring skills to our country, the skills that our country need. Fundamentally, he said, is basically how the Australian immigration system is supposed to work.
That's exactly right. And years ago, Barry Jones said, and he admitted, the Labor Party brought people in from different parts of the world purely for the vote. They knew there would be problems with them assimilating into the society. And I feel that is exactly the same thing that is happening now, that people who think we can open up the floodgates because we've got a huge country, we can actually house all these people. Only on the eastern seaboard and on the coastal fringes that we can. Australia is very much a dry, barren land, and we cannot provide for all these people here. We don't have the infrastructure, we don't have the water, we don't have the jobs. The figures show that, unemployment is around about 6%. Mm. But in real cases and places, you're looking at 15, 20, even up to 30% of youth unemployment in Australia. Mm. And the stats say that if you've got 1 hour's paid employment a week, you are not classified as unemployed.
I'm interested in your view on this notorious Section 18C, that the legislation that sees Australians facing a prosecution for offending somebody's feelings. I cannot understand why Tony Abbott walked away from that when it was getting close to presentation.
Brandis wanted to get rid of it. He was actually talking in Parliament about getting rid of it. And it means that it's shutting us down with our freedom of speech. So if we say anything, people can come out and say, well, we find that offensive, harassing. There's four classifications to it, how people found it. And I thought, no, that's stifling us in freedom of speech. But then again, I'm thinking, well, if we've got people that speak out against us, can we actually then use it against them? But it never seems to work that way. And what I find offensive, John, is that on the weekend what I heard is that in Melbourne, you know, they were burning the Australian flag, and that was an issue that I spoke about this morning. And yet it is not unlawful to burn the Australian flag.
Precisely.
And it was George Christensen apparently brought it up on the floor of Parliament in a private member's motion, and he never got support from the parliamentarians. So I ask, what the hell is happening in this country? Where is Warren Inch? Why wasn't he shouting from the rooftops? Because a lot of people stand proud under that flag.
Yeah.
You know, and it just amazes me. What about the Olympians, people who sports people, people that have actually, you know, gone to war under that? I mean, the Korean and Malaysian War and Vietnam War, it was under that flag. But I think it's disgraceful what they're allowing to happen.
Now, talk to me about the federal government's efforts to fundamentally get rid of those pesky independent senators.
Yes, this is quite interesting, John. They called a double dissolution on the ABCC bill, and that's to deal with the unions, and that was originally from the Royal Commission into the Coal Royal Commission in 2003, and it was brought in 2005 to deal with the unions. Now, Julia Gillard wound that back. Now, based on that, Malcolm Turnbull thought, I'm going to get rid of the independents in the Senate. So he's called the double dissolution. Now, with this election in New South Wales, Liberals have their preferences flowing to the family first, Liberal Democrats, and the motoring enthusiasts. They were three of the parties that he wanted to get rid of, and now they're flowing their preferences to it. I cannot believe it. Glenn, you know, it's the whole thing is, yes, a lot of those independents will go. They will lose their seats at this election. But, and another thing is, so I've been very disappointed with Glenn Lazarus. He's actually flowing his preferences to the Greens, and then Labor, and then Liberal. So I spoke to Glenn about 6 weeks ago. I sat down with him, first time I'd met him. Nice fellow. But I said, Glenn, are you aware of the Lima Declaration, Agenda 21, or the Free Trade Agreement? And he said, no. I said, Glenn, how the hell are you supposed to fix the, you know, future if you don't know what's happened in the past? And I said to him, Glenn, okay, let's talk about preferences. And I'm started to explain. And his wife's there saying, you're wrong.
Oh, dear.
And I said, what? She said, no, it doesn't work the way.
Oh,
I said, excuse me? I said, I've been around for 20 years doing this. This is your first election you've run by yourself and you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I think you better go out and get some advice on how the preference works. And I said, it amazes me. You've just been in the Senate. You've voted on some changes to the legislation and you don't even know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy, but he shouldn't be in Parliament.
Pauline, and I know you probably don't want to travel back this far, but I've watched your performances over the years, the dreadful treatment you endured under our judicial system, but you don't seemingly carry any bitterness about what happened to
you. Not at all. And you're looking at me all amazed by that, as people do. It was horrific what happened to me at the time. It was meant to stop me. It was orchestrated by the Liberal Party. Tony Abbott set up the slush fund, and Peter Beattie changed the legislation in Queensland just a few months prior to my court case. Instead of it being a fine or a six-month jail term, he actually made it 7 years retrospective, which gave the judge the ammunition to actually give me a three-year jail term on each sentence. Now, let me make it quite clear to people. I should never have been charged in the first place. It was all to do with the registration of a political party where they said they were not really members of the political party. They were members of the support movement. That's what the whole case was about. And on the day they found me guilty, which was a shock to everyone, my friends and family, the two detectives in the back of the courtroom were heard to say, one said to the other, it was never meant to go this far. And one of those detectives retired from the police force after that. He got out of it. So I know that for a fact, John. What, you know, I spent 11 weeks in maximum security. But, John, in that time, it's amazing where life takes you. I was able to help a woman who was in there for murder. And she's she was from Yeppoon Way, Rockhampton. I helped her with getting decent legal representation by getting her to write to the Justice Department. I helped her with her submission for her QC. I then, after she got out on an appeal, she actually, she came home to my place at that Christmas. She was released in November, 2 weeks after I was. And then we chased up better legal representation for her. She had a retrial. She was found not guilty. An investigation was to be done into the police. There was another young woman in there, 27. She had her seventh baby, Aboriginal. She actually, I wrote to the housing, Queensland Housing, and I was able to get her a house to reunite with her children when she got out of prison. So Gracie, you know, we got that for her. She was so excited. And she... I've still got the letters, and Gracie wrote to me, and she cried when I was leaving. She said, "You've been an angel in my eyes." She said, "You know, you've meant so much to me." She said, "I do wish you all the best. You've changed my life." And I haven't kept in touch with Gracie after that.
Have you got water there, by the way? Oh, yes, you have.
Yeah, it's just my throat.
Let me ask you this, because I remember the old saying, basically it goes along the lines of adversity that does not kill you makes you stronger. Are you a prime example of that?
Definitely, definitely. Look, we all have our ups and downs in life, don't we? You know, I'm not the only one who's been through some tough times. Look at the men and women that have actually gone to fight for this country and how the mess, you know, some of them are coming back. Even to this day, the ones that have fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we need to clean that up, John. There are so many problems that is happening, and yet they feel forgotten. No one's doing anything about it. I just feel... my job's not finished. I feel I have to get back in there. You know, I want to look after the defence personnel, fight for their rights. They've given, as one fellow wrote, and he said, "I've went and fought for this country for 14 years. I come back," and he said, "I get nothing." A member of parliament does a few years, he gets a pension and gets looked after, a gold card. That's not right. We have men suiciding. You know, the 21 Fathers and other organisations, they've got nowhere to go. They're caught up in this battle, in the court cases, just wanting to see their children and have connection with the children, and they're being shut out. And women listening to this program now, if you are separated from your husband, fair enough, you have your differences, but please don't deny them the right to see their children. Work it out between you. You know, it's not all about you. I think it's a selfish attitude to take. Those kids will only ever have one mum and one dad. Give them the right to see it in a peaceful, well-organised manner as two parents that at one time in your life you must have loved each other. You came together. Do that for your children, if I can ask anything of you.
I noticed in the media, well, yesterday and the day before, the journalists are giving you your best chance in 20 years.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I think even the bookies, I'm doing better in the bookies price as well.
Why is that?
Because the Senate changes have changed, okay, so the voting, double dissolution, and the major political parties don't control the preferences. But, John, I've travelled quite extensively this last year. I've been on the campaign trail since the last state election. People are fed up. They are angry. They have had enough of the major political parties. They want change. They want someone who's going to be in there to listen and work hard for them. They want accountability. They want honesty. They want, you know what they're saying to me is everything that comes up, and I've got it in my ad. You are only saying what we are thinking, but you have got the guts to say it. And that's what they want. They feel forgotten. The politicians are not in tune with the grassroots. And I say to people, and they come up telling me their problems, and I said, "Well, go and see a state or federal member of parliament." They said, "But they don't do anything." I said, "That's what they're there for. They're supposed to help you and find the answers." People they are struggling so much that they're in fear for the future generations, for the kids. They don't know if they're going to pay their bills, if they're going to be paid, or the prospects of jobs. But there's another thing too. I'll tell the Australian people now, get your act together and wake up. You all need a bloody kick up the backside, because We're losing the work ethic, John, and this is what is happening. They've opened up the floodgates for the workers, 457 visa holders, the 400 visa holders, all these other ones, the students with the visa holders. They're taking up these jobs in Australia. And Australians have to start getting the work ethic back, the younger generation. So I was speaking to a fellow, Meldrum's, I think it is Meldrum's, here in town. Best pies. I loved it. I got a pie from him this morning. I was having a talk with him. He said, I applied... he put an ad out for, you know, someone to come to work here.
Yeah.
He said over 2 weeks, he said one 16-year-old turned up. And he said, look, I can offer you 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or you can have both those shifts if you want. And she said, oh, I've got a life.
Oh, dear.
He said she didn't take it. One in 2 weeks.
Wow. Let me ask you this. This wave internationally of anger about the extent of political correctness. Now, we're seeing what's happening in the United States of America. No one can believe what Donald Trump is achieving there, clearly. The things he espouses are attracting people who are fundamentally angry about, well, political correctness is a major part of it. You go then to what's just happened on Friday in Europe and Great Britain. That's being put down largely to the sort of anger that is now surrounding, well, fundamentally, aspects of political correctness. Is it international? Will it reach our shores?
It is. It's not only about political correctness. What's happened in Britain is the influx of people coming in and destroying their sovereignty and the national identity of the country. That's what's happening in America. That's why Donald Trump has got the support. The same thing is happening here in Australia with the support that I'm getting as well. And it's all about what Britain said. They said the immigration into the country has overloaded the health, the education and the workforce. He said it's driven down the wages and it's actually added to the cost of housing. People notice a big difference. Like, this is what is happening in Australia, and I think that's why people are getting on board with me. And that's saying if we had to listen to you 20 years ago, because I spoke about immigration then, we couldn't keep going at the numbers that we had. And all these refugees that they're bringing in. Now, the Greens want to bring in 50,000. The Labor Party want to bring in 27,000. And the Liberal Party policy is about 13,800 a year. And they're wanting to bring it out, expand that to another 12,000 Syrian refugees. I warn the Liberal Party, don't bring out the Syrian refugees. We are best to send over the $200,000 there, resettle them there and look after them there in their country, because we bring them out here, it's going to cost us $830 million. That's $69,000 per refugee. And after 5 years, those refugees, about 85-90%, are still on unemployment at that time.
Sure.
And what it's costing us is tremendous.
Now, for those people who've been listening to you for the last, 15 minutes or so, what do you advise? What would you like them to do this coming Saturday?
Vote for me in the Senate. I want your vote. That's it. I'm up front honest. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Never have done. Not going to start now. So when you when you go to the big white Senate ballot paper, look for Pauline Hanson's One Nation above the line, and it's column X, and so it's on the ballot paper there. So it'll be great, but you must see the name Pauline Hanson's One Nation below the box.
Now, you're going to give a plug to your candidate, Peter Rogers.
Definitely. Look, Peter's a small businessman. He knows the area. And he thought, no, I'm sick and tired of sitting around whinging about this. He said, I've got to get behind this lady and we've got to do something together. I've got 31 candidates standing across the country, 12 lower house seats in Queensland, 4 Senate seats. I think we've got a good chance, and I'll tell you now, to pick up 2 Senate seats in Queensland. It is strong, and in some of the other states as well. Now, Malcolm thinks I wasn't welcome in Parliament. He said, well, I'm not welcome down in Parliament House. Well, I've got a thing for Malcolm Turnbull. I will be there, Malcolm, and I will be welcome, and it's not up to you. It's up to the people of this country.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting times, but I tell you what, I've really got my my work cut out for me if I get in there. There's a lot I want to do, John, and especially North Queensland, and I'm wanting to put an office up in this area so I can be accessible for the people.
Good to have you back at the 4CA microphone, Pauline. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Pauline
John.
Pauline Hanson, we're going to the national news. Back to talk after the news.
Cairns' most up-to-date news and information. GP